I have been excited to preach this morning for like, I don't know, ever since we went to Awaken the Dawn. And even there, I felt like this is what the Lord had told me to share. But it's going to be a very different kind of Sunday morning. So I just want you to prepare for that. Like, I just could not fit this into 3 points if I tried. It's just not that kind of message. Instead, I really feel like the Lord wants me to just bare my heart to you and share with you what I feel like are some of the Lord's blueprints for 2018. I say some of the blueprints. Nobody's got the whole puzzle except for him, okay? I mean, he just, you know, I can barely play chess one-on-one, and he's like playing chess on like 10 different dimensions and scoring all the way across. I mean, he's just so brilliant and smart, and his plans are so amazing. But I do feel like he has released to us some of the things that he's really wanting to do in 2018. And so I'm going to take a whole message. To be honest, I don't know if this is going to take 10 minutes or an hour and 10 minutes. I'm not 100% sure. But I just want to share with you what I feel like the Lord is saying for the state of South Dakota for 2018. Everyone say, that's me. That's right. Except we've got a Nebraska gal here. That's okay. You're going to get something out of this too. What the Lord is saying for the state of South Dakota and specifically for JRC. I want to tell you, sometimes you got to know who you are as a church. Every church carries different graces. It's so important that we never look at our strengths and judge other churches' weaknesses they have different strengths, and maybe the area that's our strength is not even a strength in another church. But they have strengths that we don't have, right? But every church really needs to know, what do you have? What do you carry as a body? What's your calling? What's your unique place? Like, we don't want to be like every other church, and we don't want every other church to be like us. We want every church to be doing and walking in the unique grace and calling that the Lord has for them. There's going to be commonalities across the board, right? Like, we're all called to preach the absolute truth of the gospel, to, you know, stand for truth. I mean, there's some commonalities, but there's a lot of uniqueness. JRC has a unique call in the city, and we have a unique call in the state of South Dakota. It's the grace of God. It's the gift of God. We have a calling as a church to lead on a state level. This has been demonstrated for 10 years. I think it's part of that, part of God's character, where he just loves to take things that maybe other people overlook and think are even insignificant. And he just like says, oh, just watch what I can do through some willing hearts. Okay. And it's just this beautiful thing. The Lord chooses. He chooses assignments, giftings, and callings. And we have a unique one. And so James River Church has a calling to be what I call a forerunner. Okay. A forerunner is someone who runs ahead. Okay. And you know, John the Baptist was the ultimate forerunner. Remember, he ran ahead and he prepared the way for the coming of the Lord, right? He prepared the way by proclaiming, by preaching, by living a consecrated life. He had a certain assignment on him to run ahead, and he was doing something no one else was doing, because he was a forerunner. That means you're ahead. It means sometimes other people don't even get you. And all the Pharisees are out there, why are you preaching this? And what are you doing? He's like, I'm running ahead. There's one that's going to come behind me. I'm not even worthy to touch his shoelaces. He's so worthy. And I'm just here proclaiming, there's something new coming. There's something new coming. There's something new coming. And so in 2008, by the grace of God, the Lord swept us into the prayer movement in South Dakota. It was almost by accident, except for we know God was in it. And what year, when did we start having Friday night prayers? 2007. In 2007, we had a month of spiritual emphasis. I mean, every month is a month of spiritual emphasis, but sometimes you don't know what to call something, and you're like, let's just take a month in January and draw close to the Lord in a very special way. And we had this crazy idea. Let's start meeting together every Friday from 6 to 10 just to pray and worship. And after a month, it was so amazing that we're like, man, it feels wrong to stop this. Let's just take one more month and meet together every Friday for prayer and worship. And by the end of month two, it was like, there is no way we're going to stop this. Some train just got rolling. Some snowball just started like going down the hill. Do you know what I mean? It was like, just kind of got this aha moment where you just feel like you stumbled into something that's going to become part of that very identity of who you are as a church and to be a house of prayer. And so, you know, we were at that for about a year. And in 2008, there was a pretty big deal on the ballot where we could have ended abortion in our state by vote. By popular vote, it was on the ballot. We were voting on whether abortion would be legal. And this nagging thought kept coming in my heart. Who's praying? This is a demon. This is so much more than a law. We're not, you know, who is praying? Who is interceding for this thing to like be sought, you know, for us to see it through to victory? And so just by the grace of God, the Lord kept speaking to me and saying, what if I used you to call a state to prayer? And we didn't know anybody. We didn't know anybody. We'd only been at this a few years here. We have a small network of churches. We're not part of a really huge denomination. We weren't really super well connected around in the state. But this gnawing thought, what if I used you to call a state to prayer? And then I felt like the Lord said this, just watch me, I can do it and keep you hidden at the same time. I'm like, you don't have to keep us hidden, Lord. No, I want to. He wanted to keep us hidden at that time. And so long story short, just made the right connection with the right person. And all of a sudden, we are in connection with Focus on the Family of South Dakota. And they're saying, write us a letter. This is what we need. We want you to help us call every single church in the state of South Dakota to prayer and fasting for the ending of abortion. Like, what? And that was the beginning of a journey for us of serving the state in leadership in the prayer movement. We've been doing that for years, having statewide prayer gatherings, having statewide prayer leaders retreats where we just serve the people who are running houses of prayer and having prayer conferences and sending out prayer points and calling people to it's a grace of God on us to be a forerunner. And when I had Awaken the Dawn, it was the last day we were at this Rise Up, it was called, and it was it was for women, anyone could come, but it was a prayer meeting that Giant on the Mall, Lou Engle was leading it, who runs the call. And we were praying for a righteous women's movement to rise up in the earth, that the women of the earth would rise up, not in a feminist, my fist in your face kind of movement, but a righteous women's movement where the women of America would rise up into the glory God's given them, and that we would be the intercessors God's called us to be, and the leaders in our home, and the leaders in the community that God's called us to be. And at that event, I would say it was life transforming for me. Life transforming. I felt like I stepped onto the mall under an umbrella with rain pouring and just started like getting our marching orders for 2018. That's what I say. So here are some of the things I feel like the Lord is saying over James River Church, over the state of South Dakota for 2018. One of the things I feel like he's saying, you just take your own notes, guys, is I feel like he's saying this is a season for our Isaacs to be birthed. This is our season for our Isaacs to be birthed. And this is what that means. Sarah and Abraham, the father of faith, the mother of faith, they had this promise when they were middle-aged, maybe in their 40s. They received this promise. You will have a son. Not only that, you will have so many descendants. The Lord took Abraham out. He says, look down at this. He's in the middle of a desert. He says, look at the ground. Count the grains of sand. You can't count the grains of sand in a cup of sand, let alone, you know, a desert. And he says, that's how many descendants. Then he takes him out, you know, in the desert. No light pollution out there. There's no cities lighting up the sky. They're in the middle of the desert. And he says, look up. On a cloudless night, he says, look up and count the stars. That's how many descendants you're going to have. And they were childless, barren, been trying for years. And it was like the Lord was painting a picture for him that every time he's walking through the desert, every time he looks down or he looks up, he's remembering the promise of God. He can't escape the promise of God. If he's wandering through the desert, just another step, there it is. If he's looking up at night, there it is. I told you descendants, I told you descendants, I told you descendants. Years, decades pass until Abraham is 100 and Sarah is 90. We sometimes forget how old that is. My grandma passed away at 95. She was really old. She was not going to bear any children, okay? I know they had a little longer lifespan back then, but we're talking. They're really old, okay? And in the most unlikely of timing, here comes Isaac, just like God said. Just like God said, the promise came. And I feel like 2018, in the context of revival, I also believe it's our individual lives, but in the context of seeing actually something on the scale of a national revival is birthed and going to begin in 2018 in South Dakota. There's an Isaac. Now, Jeff preached on hope last week. If you missed it, oh my goodness, go online and listen to it. It was so good. I feel like this is like message number two to his message because he talked about having hope. And basically, these Isaacs are coming forth, guys. So this is what the Lord has been doing in South Dakota, has been establishing the prayer movement. I feel like he's been doing that for a decade at least. He has been restoring the church's identity as a house of prayer, okay? But it's not like that's the end all. Oh, good, I finally got him praying. Now I can just return, suck them all up into heaven, blast some judgments, we'll be over, okay? He had to get us to a place where we once again understood who we were as a house of prayer, who we are in our identity with God, so that we can begin to release things into the earth. So that we are in this place of power connected to the Lord to get done what he wants to get done. And it's like this, guys. The Lord gave me three pictures for what the prayer movement is like in the earth right now. Because it's been building, building, building. It's like a musical crescendo. So you musicians, you're going to connect to this. A musical crescendo is like if you have a symphony piece, at first you may just have like the flutes or the violins playing softly, and then in comes the cellos, and then in comes the trumpets, then in comes the trombones, and as other instruments come in, the volume increases in intensity and in power until it reaches this climax, the crescendo of this moment when something's birthed. This is what the prayer movement's like. It's been building, building, louder, louder, louder. More people join in, more people join in, more people get it. Do you know, like 10 years ago when we tell people, like our main ministry is as a house of prayer, other believers would look at us like we were insane. There was such a disconnect in the body of Christ. Like, what do you do? Pray? But when are you going to do something? Oh my goodness. Prayer is doing something. Plus, when you spend time praying, you get up off your knees and you actually put action to the things that are in his heart because you've been in his presence. And you don't have to just make things up off the top of your head that sound good to you. But throughout the years, the Lord has been adding, he's been imparting his heart to the church, and he's been adding to the great crescendo. People are getting it more. Yes, yes, we got to get connected to the vine. And it's building, 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 building. The prayer movement's also like a volcano. All the activity, the glory of the volcano is under the surface. There are things brewing and pressure building where nobody sees. And the glory of a volcano is its eruption, right? The prayer movement is like that. It's like as we pray and as others join in across the earth and across the state, across the United States, it's like the pressure is building for this eruption of God's presence. It's like something's happening under the surface. Something, you're like, it just looks like a mountain to me. Oh, just wait and see. Just wait and see. Because it's building, building, building. Right? The prayer movement, the third analogy the Lord gave me, the prayer movement is like a mother's womb. Most of the room is pregnant, so they'll really connect with this. Or just had a baby. I see a few women shaking their head. Don't say that. You know, when you first get pregnant, you don't even know it. You don't even know you've conceived. Nobody knows it. And then pretty soon you know, uh-oh, you know, something's going on. Something's happening. There's the signs of a baby. Baby's coming. Maybe you missed your first cycle, your second cycle. Still, nobody else can tell. Especially if you're a first-time mama, your stomach's still nice and flat. Just glory in it, girls. And because it probably won't stay that way after the second, third, and fourth, right? No, just teasing. Children are worth it. So, you know, but something's being knit together in the darkness of the womb. Life is there, even though nobody can see. And then pretty soon, there's the little baby bump. Kayleen's got the baby bump. She's got the baby bump cycle. Sorry. Yeah, and then it gets bigger and bigger until it is evident to the whole world something is inside of you. There's something that's going to be birthed. That's what the prayer movement's like. Knit together in the secret place with God, on your knees. Revival is being birthed. And there's a movement happening in the earth, in the secret place, like a baby being knit. But no woman is pregnant forever. You could say amen to that too. No one is pregnant with those promises forever. There's a day when there's a baby coming. So what I felt like the Lord said in 2018, is I feel like he said 2018 is the year for the missions movement to be birthed in South Dakota. I want us to right now redefine what the missions movement is. Because as soon as I say missions movement, some of you think huts in Africa. That's legit. But it's not it, okay? Some of you think India, orphans, I love them. Please, if God calls you, go. But that's not the totality of what the missions movement is. It's time now to redefine what we call the missions movement. Because the Lord is going to call a whole generation to go. And some of them are going to stay and go, and some of them are going to leave their homes and go. And Jeff said it so well this morning when he said to a little group of us, he said, the missions movement is the church getting on mission. Yes. I love that. Where the church is rallied once again around the greatest commandment, the loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. In other words, we're rallied around the worth of Christ. And then we're rallied around also the greatest commission, which is to go. And some go and by staying, and some go by leaving. And all of you that say, I will go, are part of the missions movement. So when I say missions movement, if you are a born-again believer in this room, you have the opportunity to participate. I just feel like gone are the days when pastors would get up here and say, some are called to go, and others are called to support them financially. And those are your two choices. Send the missionary a check, or else go across to a faraway land. And of course, you know we support missionaries. I hope all of you support missionaries that are overseas. This is not what that statement's about. It's those two are not our only options. You can be a vital part of the missions movement the Lord is birthing in the earth and never leave the residency of your home, but you're going to your neighbors. You're going to your loved ones. You are going to your coworkers. You are going to the people at Walmart. You are going. Amen. I want to share with you some experiences. Sorry, guys. I was freezing cold. Now I'm really, really hot. Okay, are you guys with me? Thank you, Jeff. He's always with me. So it's just really, it means a lot to me. One time I really got afraid that he wouldn't want to go with me overseas anymore. Really, honestly, we were in Rome or something. And I was like, you know, I just know that maybe we're going to start going enough that I'm going to, you know, that you're not going to be able to come with me. And I just, you know, I just know the Lord would provide for someone to go with me. And he just looked at me and said, I'm going with you. Like, always, I'm going with you. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I love you. That's real love. All right. Are you guys ready for some dreams and visions? Okay. I'm going to share more of them than I normally do on a Sunday morning. All right. But first, I want to give you the scripture. It's on your sheet. You got to have a scripture, guys. Normally, we have 100 of them. I got quite a few scriptures on your sheet, but this is the one I want to highlight right now. Luke 10:2. The Lord told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out," everyone say, "send out," "workers to his harvest field." I have had this phrase of "send out" like on my brain, send out, send out, send out. And I was like, what does this mean? This is the Greek word. I know a Greek word, guys. I speak many languages. Hola. Sprechen Sie Deutsch? I believe that says it. There is a Greek word for send out, and it's called ekbalo. This word we translate as send out, but the actual word is actually has a force about it that actually means thrust forth or drive forth. So the Lord is literally saying, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would thrust forth laborers. It's the same word that was used when Jesus drove out the demons. Do you think Jesus was like, oh, would you please go out of the demoniac, into the pigs? No, no. Jesus knew who he was. He drove them out with the word. That same word, ekbalo, is what he uses when he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would ekbalo people into the harvest field. Kind of sounds like you're going to ekbalo, right? Throw up or something. See, literally, you could accurately reword that, I believe even more accurately, and begin to pray, God, drive us into the harvest field. Lord, take your church, thrust us out. That's what he did in Acts. His spirit came down, Acts chapter 2, and they got it, right? I mean, whoa, they were on mission. But the Lord had said this thing, go into all the world. So they stayed in one place. But he said, go first into Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, into the uttermost parts of the earth. And so it seems like they needed a little help. So a little persecution came, a little heat came down, and all of a sudden they were ekbaloed all over the earth. I can't stay in Jerusalem anymore. And the Lord's like, no problem. I'm ekbaloing you. No idea if that's really a word, ekbaloing, but I'm sending you out. I'm going to thrust you out. I'm going to drive you into the nations. And in 2018, I believe that baby is going to be born. It's the mission ekbalo baby that's coming forth. A number of years ago, I had a very powerful prophetic dream. In this dream, I was on a highway, and I was riding a four-wheeler, an ATV. And I'm on like the side of the highway, you know, on the shoulder, driving along. You know, four-wheelers don't go very fast. I mean, 20 maybe or something. And I'm, so, you know, 20 isn't the speed you normally go on a highway, you know. But I'm riding along. This is like my ministry, okay? I'm doing 20. Yes, I'm so fast. And I look ahead of me, and there is a wall of water that's spreading from horizon to horizon, and it's coming straight at me. And there is no escaping that wall of water. It's like a tidal wave on steroids from horizon to horizon, moving straight. And I'm like, I turn my four-wheeler around. I'm like, I gotta get out of here. I turn it around, and I'm now facing another wall of water behind me. And this one stretches from horizon to horizon, and both walls of water are coming in at the same time. And I literally said, this might be God, but I think I'm going to die. And the walls of water, which I believe were the movements of the Holy Spirit in the earth, all of a sudden collided. And I was sent, I mean, like in the crash of that, I was up and over and turning. And all of a sudden I've never seen this movie, The Matrix. I've never seen it, but I saw commercials of it. But I could see like molecules of water splashing around me like I was in supersonic. I can't explain it. And all of a sudden, I realized I am no longer driving a four-wheeler. I'm not swimming. I'm not being crashed around. I am flying through the water at Superman speed. And I come out of that experience, and I am now flying on that highway, possibly 200 miles per hour. And I see two angels up on the highway, and as I go by them, I hear them saying, the name of the Lord is being revived in the earth. What I'm describing there is not, oh, we had a great Friday night, I was really touched by the Lord. What I believe the Lord was trying to give me a visual of is, can you give me more? Maybe three glasses of those. Was that there is a third wave, a third great awakening coming to our land. And for those of us who are in the game, even if it's just a four-wheeler on the highway going 10 miles an hour, I'm here, Lord, I'm in the game. For those of us that are in the game, there is no way you're going to miss this one. This is not going to pass you up. In fact, you may think you're going to die, but you're going to come out of that thing flying in the power of the Holy Spirit. The third great awakening and the missions movement are the same thing, guys. They're the same thing. When we cannot call it a third great awakening if there is not a harvest of souls. We just can't. We don't do that. Title justice. The first great awakening in our nation, the first great awakening, thousands upon thousands of people would gather in fields with no amplification. And they would somehow hear the preacher preach. The fear of the Lord was so great. They'd fall on their face repenting, going and telling all their neighbors. There's stories in the first and second great awakening of people falling under conviction 30 miles away who weren't even at the meeting and getting saved. I mean, I'm so excited when I see the Lord moving now, but I've got a vision for something that's seriously bigger than what we've experienced. And I believe when the Lord said, I'm going to birth the mission movement in 2018, we're going to see the first fruits of that. Thank you. I forgot my water bottle. Really, thank you. Praise God. You know, we just got back from Awaken the Dawn, you know, first part of October. Well, when they called me and asked me to lead Awaken the Dawn, I was like, I felt like, man, this is perfect for me. I mean, this is just the perfect thing for me. I just really felt like I can really line up with this. You know, I can get behind this thing. But we're busy. We have a lot happening that we're trying to do for the Lord, you know. And so every opportunity, I have to weigh so much. Like, am I supposed to give time to this? You know, it means another Sunday away. Whatever. And so I am praying on this and just kind of like torn about, you know, asking the Lord, please, you know, I know it'd be awesome, but I don't want to do it unless it's you. And you know how the Lord confirmed it to me? I was sleeping and I had a dream that is as real as real. I looked over at my alarm clock and the whole thing exploded. I mean, it exploded. And then the face of the alarm clock exploded out and the whole thing erupted in fire and flame. I screamed and sat up in bed. And then Jeff woke up because I screamed and sat up in bed. He's like, what? What? I'm like, my alarm clock! It exploded! I mean, fire, smoke, the whole face of it was completely exploded. Good night, Autumn. I'm like, I'm serious. It means something. Something's happening. It means something. Yeah, we'll talk about it in the morning, sweetie. And in the morning, he says, Autumn, when your alarm clock exploded in that dream and you screamed, I looked at the clock and it was exactly 3 a.m. So I started praying about, like, what is this about, Lord? I feel like the Lord said, there is an explosion coming in the spirit on the earth, and it's what you've been waiting for, the third great awakening, Autumn. And it's beginning. You know, somebody has to grab a hold of the word and run ahead. If you're waiting for the crowd, you know, don't be the school and the fish. You know, the big, like, thousands of fish, and they all, like, they move together, the schools of fish in the ocean. And you're like, well, if you're not moving this way, I can't go that way. I got to move with the school of fish. You got to lead the school of fish. Terrible illustration. But, you know, you get the picture. You got to lead the herd sometimes. Just say, I'm willing to believe that this is actually true, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to run ahead. During the same period of time, I was like looking for confirmation about Awaken the Dawn and about, God, what are you doing, you know? And the Lord gave me this amazing dream. He was raising up church planting movements. He was raising up like evangelism and new ways to plant churches all over the earth. And we were all together and we were deciding which model of church planting should we do. Like, there were lots of good ones, lots of different ways to get things done. Got to be gracious with everybody, okay? If somebody's getting it done, don't criticize them. If it's not your way to do it, who cares? Somebody sings hymns, somebody doesn't. Who cares? Just glorify Jesus and cheer on your brothers and sisters, okay? Lots of ways to get it done in Jesus Christ. Only one Christ. Only one way to the Father. But lots of ways to plant churches. Lots of ways to evangelize, okay? And reach out. Okay, so I had this dream, and then it's like there's all these church planting movements happening, and all of a sudden I can hear the wolves are howling outside, and there's like cheetahs around the building, and the lights go off, and all of a sudden this huge cheetah attacks me, and I'm like, I take it, I throw it off, and it just is relentless, and I know I can't just keep fighting this thing. I have to kill it, because we're going to move on in our destiny. So I take that thing. I love dreams like this. I take that thing by the head. I go over to a pillar, and I'm breaking its back. I'm just flailing the thing against the pillar, breaking its back. And I throw it down, and in a voice I could not do, I begin to sing out, "Rise up! Rise up! Slay your enemies! Rise up! Rise up into God's calling!" I was like, whoa. After that, I found out that at Awaken the Dawn, the last day was called Rise Up. Whoa, what? Cool. That's cool. Thank you, Lord. It's so much more than one day, though. It's about what God's doing in this moment. Like, we have an anointing to not allow this moment to slip by us, to not allow this moment to be stolen by the wolves, by the lies of the enemy, by fear, by cheaters. Cheetahs never prosper, guys. That's the oldest joke in the book. Yeah. So I believe that in this moment, the Lord is actually removing things that have been slowing down the move of God. Actually, Jeff and I, even in the last, I would say, 6 to 8 weeks, have seen an increased fruitfulness in our personal ministry. Like, I've just been really encouraged. I'm like, people who had been ministering to for years, all of a sudden hearts are softened. I'm like, huh. We used to say this, you know, we used to call someone to repentance and that person wasn't coming. And now when we say, why don't you follow Christ? I really want to follow Christ. Good, yay! You know, it's like there's like a shift beginning to happen, though, where the things that used to slow down the move of God are actually have been, Lord's been removing them. He's been removing them. I want to share with you another dream. This will probably be the last one. And then we're going to have a time of response. Since I came back from Awaken the Dawn and the Lord had given me this word, really what I felt like the Lord, I'm telling you, I'm giving my whole life to this for 2018. I felt, this is my big rock. my big rock, you know, you only, like, remember, imagine your life is like a bowl, and you got to fit the big rocks in first. If you start with the gravel and all the little things, then the most important things don't fit in your life, okay? So Jeff and I have used that illustration for years. What are your big rocks? What are the things that are most important? You got to put them in your life first, and then the other things follow. And for me, I feel like we got to birth a missions movement. Sometimes when I say that, I don't even know what that means exactly. Otherwise, I know we're going to start praying on it. We already have. And when you pray on something, it starts being birthed. And then strategies start coming, and people get saved, and we have our focus. We know what God wants to do, and we're going to run ahead and do it. So since I came back from Awaken the Dawn, I had so many experiences with the Lord where he's saying the same thing, the same thing. I'm just seeing missionaries being raised up to stay and missionaries being raised up to go. Really, it's going to be a sign and wonder what God does through our little state, through a bunch of people who some of them haven't even traveled outside of the five-state region. You know, it's an adventure if you go to Minneapolis. And they're going to be starting getting calls to third world nations and all over the earth. It's going to be a sign and a wonder what God's going to do through South Dakota. So I had this profound, amazing dream where I saw this beautiful, huge, super long bridge across this body of water, across the earth, really. I saw this bridge, and the Lord called the bridge the Golden Gate. He says, "This is my Golden Gate." I feel like what it is when he... This is how we enter into our destiny, that golden gate. And at the golden gate was filled with people, all walking in the same direction. And the Lord said, "You called them and they answered." And that's not just for me. When you guys disciple, I want you to know when you call people, they're going to answer. When you call them to greatness, they are going to answer. There is a new grace, a higher level of grace for yes in the human heart. I believe it. It's by the grace of God to say yes. So put the call out there, guys. And so this voice said, "Look, you called." They answered. And the people are, it's like a 5K almost, except for they're all walking, you know, across the bridge. But you know how you'll see those bridges with marathons where everyone's like all mashed together, like running. Well, they're all, and all of a sudden the next scene, I'm on the bridge and I'm running among the people. I'm running, and they're walking, and I have my hands up and I'm shouting prayers to the Lord. I'm shouting prayers to the Lord because they're doing it. They're entering God's golden gate. They're doing it. They said yes to God. They said yes to God. And when they end the bridge, there's this footpath along the water, and they have a choice. They've all said yes. They can turn and go back across the water to the land where they started from. In other words, they said, "Yes, I'll go," and then they stayed because they were supposed to. Or they go on a little farther, and they get on a ship, and they go on a trip. And I know that was overseas. Because some will be called to go to the unreached people groups of the earth, and some will be called to go to their neighbor. And we need to remember the soul of an African is no more important than the soul of your neighbor. And the soul of your neighbor is no more important than the soul of an African. It's all a matter of what field am I supposed to work in. It's not a matter of what field is more worthy to work in. They're all so worthy. They're all so wonderful. I mean, every person on the face of the earth is just so valuable. He shed his very blood for every one of them. And what I saw is the ones who stayed were as yielded to the Lord as the ones who left to other countries, because they all had said yes and crossed into this place of yieldedness to the Lord. And that's something we need to know too. When God calls you to stay, or God calls you to go, I should say, if God calls you to stay, or God calls you to leave, as long as you're going, you're answering the call and your reward is the same. You're not more yielded necessarily because you leave the country. But we need to be willing to leave the country. Amen? We're just willing to do whatever. Praise God. So this is my challenge to you. I wish I had a I mean, I wish I had more of a 1, 2, 3, this is exactly what we're going to do to answer this call. I have a little bit of one. I said, by the grace of God, Lord, this is the only thing I know to do, is that when God gives me a word, I just say, I'm going to do something physical to say yes to this. So for me, I came straight home. I called together and asked people from across the state, will you please gather? Will you join me in a team called Awaken South Dakota for the purpose of birthing a missions movement this year? And I said, we're going to do 5 events. It's fish and loaves. 5 events in the natural doesn't start a missions movement. 5 events, though, with a yes heart submitted to the Lord, saying, I'm doing this because I believe God, changes the earth. So I said, 5 events. We're going to gather in January for our 24 hours of prayer and worship in Pierre. We do it annually. But this time we're doing it to birth a missions movement. I'm serious. Like, when I get up on that mic, I'm going to be, Ekbaloam, Jesus. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be praying the Luke 10:2 prayer. And then we're, hopefully, I'm saying it for the whole world now to see. Millions of people possibly will watch this, or at least 10 or 20. We are, by the grace of God, going to have a Gathering the Generals prayer and missions conference. We're hoping in March, and we've asked David Bradshaw to come be our guest speaker. He's the leader of Awaken the Dawn, and he is all in on the missions movement, all in on the prayer movement, and I just feel like he's got something to impart. He hasn't said yes yet. So we'll be praying that the Lord will move on his heart to say yes. But that'll be in May. We're going to tent the Capitol. We're going to do what we did in Washington, D.C., in Pierce, South Dakota, in the last week of September. We're going to pitch a 100-man tent, and we're going to go 24/7 for 3 days. And you know why we're doing it? To birth a missions movement. To see this third great awakening. We're just going to worship. We're going to gather around the worthiness of Jesus Christ, the greatest commandment. And we're going to gather around the go commandment. And God's going to take some fish and loaves and birth a baby. Revival baby. And then we're going to go to 2 college campuses. And we're going to tent them. We're going to pitch a tent, rent a room, depending on what time of the year it is. You can't pitch tents all the time. And we're going to help facilitate student-led prayer and worship on college campuses, little prayer furnaces. And we're going to do it for the birthing of the missions movement. That's right. Because the Lord's going to raise up young people, college students, and send them all over the earth preaching the gospel. We really are coming into a time where we're going to see an unusual amount of people called into full-time preaching. Not because it's a more worthy calling than full-time accounting or something like that, but because the time is short. The Lord, you're going to see it. The Lord is going to be raising up people more and more and more, the preaching of the gospel, because it's the main thing on God's brain right now. It is the main thing he is thinking about. And so that's my plan. You know how Jeff and I always tell you guys, what is your dream? Now start making a plan for how you're going to act to start fulfilling that dream that God's put in your heart. And I say to you, what are you going to do? How do you want to say yes to God in this moment, saying, yeah, I believe there really is that third great wave of revival coming to our nation. I believe it enough to put it in my schedule. I believe it enough to put it in my prayer life. I believe it enough to go to my neighbor and share the gospel. I actually believe that God wants to win souls enough to witness on Facebook. Whatever, you just name your avenue. And this is what I challenge you to take the Luke, I'm going to call it the Luke 10:2 challenge. And for 1 month, take that one prayer of God that God told you to pray and pray it every day. He says the harvest is plentiful. This is talking about how many people there are that's actually ready to meet the Lord. It's plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. So ask. Ask is another word for pray, right? So pray. This is the prayer. Lord of the harvest, therefore, send out workers into the harvest field. Ekbalo, people, into the harvest field. I encourage you, set an alarm on your phone to remind you every day to pray that one prayer. Jeff, at 10:02 every single day, Monday through Friday, his alarm goes off on his phone at 10:02. He looks down and he says, I'm praying for the harvest. And he prays for the harvest at 10:02 every single day because Luke 10:2. But as a response to this word, I want us as a congregation individually to pray that one prayer every day. And this is what I want you to do with that prayer. I want you to pray it like the souls of your family members hang in the balance over it. I want you to pray it with such passion, like the souls of a nation hang on the balance of you praying that one prayer. What if the souls of the nations of the earth hang in the balance over a one sentence prayer? I want you to pray it like, Lord of the harvest, what if you knew it meant the salvation of your loved one? Lord of the harvest, thrust them forth. Thrust them forth. Send them forth, God. Drive them into the harvest field, Jesus. Drive. Then all of a sudden, this is what's going to happen. As you give passion to the prayer, all of a sudden you're going to be saying, drive me into the harvest field. And then as you give passion to that prayer and you make it personal, all of a sudden, God's going to start giving you cities. He's going to start giving you people groups. Then all of a sudden, he's going to drive me into the Native Americans. Drive me into Africa. Drive me into the small towns of South Dakota, Lord. And as you start giving passion to that thing, and then you start making it personal, you wait, God will start putting nations and countries and people groups. And as you pray it, like you think that the souls of those people actually hang in the balance, heaven is moved and workers actually go. This is not a polite little prayer. Oh, God of the harvest. Oh, let's do it in the English accent. Oh, God of the harvest, please send workers into the harvest field. I was actually in a prayer meeting in Belgium led by Englishers. They really do pray like that. It's so sweet. I'm like, oh my goodness, you're so polite. I don't feel like I should be around you. Like, do you find me crass? And actually, they kind of do find Americans really offensive. Anyway, I love those Englishers. It's not a polite prayer. It's a violent prayer. It's a prayer that if we pray it, that's like the Lord giving you the answer to the test before the test. There's a problem, whole sea of humanity lost. The solution, pray to me for workers. There's not enough of them. But if you pray, he will send. And you watch, you're going to be part of the senders, of those that go. Romans 10:14-15. How then can they call on the name of the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? This is the sea of humanity. They don't know their left hand from their right hand. And Paul, filled with compassion, says, how in the world could they ever call on the Lord if they've never seen him and they've never heard him? How can they hear unless someone preaches? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? And then this is what the Lord says, and as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of the gospel. You want to be called beautiful by the Lord? Just say, I'll go. I'll go. I will go. I will share my testimony. Guys, it doesn't have to be pretty. We just need to release ourselves from pressure that our gospel presentation has to be pretty. I'm going to share this testimony. Jeff shared it again. He shared it this morning, but Sarah and John Urich are missionaries. Because this is on the video, actually, I won't say the country, but they're to a closed country in Asia. Anyway, they've been lifelong missionaries there, probably close to 20 years. And Sarah is one of the most beautiful women of God you just could ever meet, just glows and radiates with the presence of God. And when she was 16 years old, she was in a McDonald's. And this little teenager came up to her, scared, afraid, trembling, and said, "Hi, I was wondering if you were a Christian." And she's like, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." She was really offended because they asked if she was a Christian. She says, "Oh, great, then you'll love this." And she handed her a track, one of those little gospel tracks, "What Jesus Did For You" track. And the girl turned around and left. Sarah read the track and got saved. And she's been a missionary for the last 20 years. Can I just tell you, God will work with anything if you'll just say yes. He can work with anything. Why do you think it depends on your smoothness, right? It just depends on your willingness. Jeff, can you come on up? We're going to have a response time. There's no pressure to respond to this word. There is pressure for you to pray Luke 10:2. Lots of pressure, guys. Do it. And I believe if you're like, "I don't even know if I want to respond, I'm scared." You know what? Take that to the Lord. We should never be scared to say yes. Do you want to live a great life? Say yes to God. You want to have an adventure? Say yes to the Lord. Just tell him, "I'll never tell you no." Wow. That's all he needs. I want to encourage you. I felt like the Lord really laid this on my heart before we respond. I feel like there are some people in this room and you're like, you just have such radical love for the Lord that you're like, "I would do anything. I just wish I could do the most radical thing," whatever that is in your mind, like sell everything and go to this country or work with orphans here. But there's circumstances around your life that you're just blocked in such a way that you're going to stay right now. Maybe you got little ones. Maybe you just financially not where, you know, I don't know what it is. God could do anything, but there's different reasons why. Maybe you have a spouse that's not even saved right now, and you know you're not supposed to leave him to go to be a missionary. He's your missionary, right? Or she's your missionary or your mission field right now. But I want to tell you, I feel like the Lord was saying this to you, that your yes is as powerful as the person who says yes and sells everything and, like, I don't know, lives in a mud hut. Your yes is as beautiful to God as anybody else. And moms with little kids, and you are spending hours a day, diapers and laundry and the mundane of life, don't think for a moment that you cannot be fruitful. First of all, you are fruitful by raising those little ones in the godliness of the Lord, in the righteousness of the Lord. You are fruitful. And aside from that, God is able to take busy mommies and daddies and people in different stages of life and make sure that he provides a way for you to be fruitful in the call of God in every stage of life. Guys, when my kids were little, and it was just, you know, survival half the time because you're so tired, I remember telling my husband, you know, every family has different work schedules, but I said, "You have the kids till 8 a.m. because if I don't get time with Jesus, I'm nothing." I mean, it was like, you know, I would put childproof and lock the doors to where I was at, and they were with him, and I got up early and spent my time with the Lord because I said, "I know there's grace to be fruitful in this season, Jesus, and I will be connected to you." And half the time, even if I'm tired, I know the grace of God is there for you to be connected to him. You need to have faith in that. The second thing I learned in that season, when I just wanted to be busy doing the work of the Lord full time, but I was at home a lot of the time doing the work of family, which is beautiful, but sometimes you forget how beautiful it is when you're in the middle of it and it just seems tiring or whatever, you know? But because the Lord is gracious to a hungry heart, he would give me opportunity after opportunity to share the gospel at that time with other mothers with small children. I joined a MOPS group. Within 6 months, I was leading the MOPS group. I had play dates with mamas. I would eye them. When someone walks through the door, I don't think they're saved. That one is mine this week. And I'm like, "Hey, come on over. Let's have coffee. Our kids can play together," you know? And I would be sharing the gospel. In those beginning years, by the grace of God, I'm not kidding, most of the people who sat in our church, I had brought them. That didn't make sense. Then it makes sense that that would have been possible for me to have that big of an impact on that many people. except for I said yes, and I really, really meant it. If you'll just use me, God, just provide, open a door for me. And he knows how to open doors wherever you're at in whatever circumstance. It's why people who are shut-ins even can be fruitful. People in nursing homes can be fruitful. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. It's the yes. Let's stand up right now. I asked Jeff to sing this song right now. I hope you know it. If you don't, it's okay. Listen to the words. Let's engage our hearts and respond to the Lord with our hearty yes.
The nations, they will come, holding broken chains above their heads, singing, "We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb." All the nations, they will come, holding broken chains above their heads, singing, "We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb." 'Cause Jesus, you're worth it all. Every nation and every soul, Jesus, you're worth it all. And every nation and every soul, Jesus, you're worth it all. Every nation and every soul, Jesus, you're worth it all. Every nation and every soul,
of this missions movement. I just want you to step into the aisles, or you can come up here, either one. You can stay in your chair if you don't want to respond. But if you're saying yes to this, like, "Yes, Lord, whatever this means, I'm walking across that golden gate, Father. I'm going to be one who goes, whether I'm going by staying or going by leaving. I'm saying yes to the go part." I want you to step into the aisle or come up front, either one. And then we're going to just continue to worship the Lord and say yes to him. Engage your heart right now.
Use me for your glory.
by, Lord.
Send me.
Send us, Jesus.
Pick me up and write your story.
Thrust us, Jesus, forth. We say yes to you.
Use me for your glory, O God. Here am I. Send me. Pick me up and write your story, O God. Here am I.
We are here because we say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes to the greatest commandment. We'll love you with everything. And yes to the greatest commission. We will share the good news. We will go. And Lord, we ask God that you would put anointing on us right now. Every hungry heart in the room. Make us forerunners right now for the state of South Dakota, God. God, make us forerunners in our families. Make us forerunners in the city. God, we say we're not afraid to run ahead because we know you're with us. We're not afraid, God, to believe you for something great because you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. So God, right now, ekbalo us. Thrust us forward right now, God. Give us a presence on the college campuses. Father, we ask God for revival across this whole state, Jesus. Bring in the harvest, God, and use us. We'll run ahead. We'll proclaim it. We'll live it. We'll set ourselves apart, God. We got one thing to live for. One thing to live for, Jesus. Bring in your glory on the earth. That's it.
Here am I. Send me. Your glory, O God, here am I, send me, worthy of it all, you are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to deserve the glory. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.